This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Really hot this summer, you know? Many cities have had three-digit temperatures this week. Desperate times call for desperate measures, as in New York City, 1955.
When it's hot like this, you know what I do? I keep my undies in the icebox.
That's Marilyn Monroe. I probably didn't need to say that. In the seven-year itch. There are a number of movies in which the hot weather drives the action, becomes a character in its own right. Our entertainment commentator, Elvis Mitchell, joins us from our studios in New York. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Hello, Scott.
I was going to ask you if your boxer shorts were nice and frosty, but...
Well, that's certainly one way of putting it.
All right, with no particular need for further introduction about this, Body Heat. 1981. Two murderous lovers played by William Hurt and Kathleen Turner. It's the heat, right, that just seems to drive the action.
And the humidity.
It is Florida, after all. Okay.
It is that, because it's funny. I guess I'm glad we brought up Body Heat, because you got Miami Vice out this summer, which heat doesn't even seem to be a factor. And then you go to 1980, you would have thought that there would be air conditioning in at least one building in Central Florida, but it doesn't seem to be anywhere. What we look for in movies that are about heat, because they're basically about vulnerability, expressed through either desire or desperation, but the heat makes the characters vulnerable and kind of weak and kind of goofy. And almost all movies that deal with heat as a central kind of character or conceit or proposition.
We do have a clip, by the way. J.A. Preston, police officer who suspects
always
William Hurt and Kathleen Turner
like
of murder.
When it gets hot, people try to kill each other. Ooh, we got more of everything bad since the wave started. It's that crisis atmosphere, you know? People dress different, feel different, they sweat more, wake up cranky, and never recover. Everything is just a little askew. Pretty soon, people think the old rules are not in effect. Start to break them, figure nobody will care, because it's emergency time.
There's a wonderful kind of camaraderie amongst the guys in that movie, which I think people tend to forget. Mm-hmm. J.A. Preston, as you mentioned, William Hurt, and a young actor who was new to films at that point named Ted Danson.
He was Lowenstein, as I remember, wasn't he?
Yes, and has a wonderful little dance in the middle of the heat that's kind of really nice. And also another new-to-movies performer who made a real impression that he's still trying to live up to, a young actor named Mickey Rourke.
Oh, gosh, I had forgotten that, of course. That's right. All right. Brings us to our next movie. Sidney Lumet's famous 12 Angry Men. A defendant's life hangs in the balance as a jury gets increasingly uncomfortable, literally hot under the collar, the hottest day of the year. They're in the jury room, and this is a time when men wore hats, ties, collared shirts. Here's a clip. Juror number 9, played by Joseph Sweeney, the oldest juror.
6-6. I'm telling you, some of you people in here must be out of your minds. A kid like that.
I don't think the kind of boy he is has anything to do with it. The facts are supposed to determine the case.
Don't give me that. I'm sick and tired of facts. You can twist them any way you like. You know what I mean?
That's exactly the point this gentleman has been making.
Oh.
I mean, you keep shouting at the top of your lungs. I'd like to be a few years younger. That man gets on my... It's hot in here, isn't it, huh?
Want a drink of water?
No, thanks.
Ed Begley, I think I recognized in there, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, I think maybe even one thing that these movies are going to be talking about all have in common is this sort of ensemble pieces, people being brought together in these situations and really kind of a test of character in many ways. And that's certainly what 12 Angry Men is all about, but vulnerability and that sort of either desperation or desire, or in the case of that movie, I think both, sort of a desire to get to the truth and a desperation to get past what it is that sort of is breaking these men apart.
And the word crucible occurs, right? Heat becomes the crucible.
Definitely that. And it's funny because these kinds of movies, they give actors a real test. I mean, movies about heat are kind of a subgenre, and you kind of wonder as we're talking about this why there aren't more of these movies, because it's a very simple way of giving actors a chance to strut their stuff.
Of course, we want to talk about Lawrence of Arabia, David Lean's film from 1962. The heat is not only overwhelming and formidable, it becomes its own character. Remember those long shots of the red sun moving through the sky? The camera lingers on the sun almost as much as it does on Omar Sharif in Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes. It's, again, there's this sort of desire and desperation is a big part of that movie, too. it almost sort of gets us past the fact that the movie's kind of not really about anything except for about 3.5 hours and a lot of sand dunes and a little bit of homoerotic torture, but I guess that's okay.
And I must say, some people think that our chats together are homoerotic torture, too.
Gee whiz. It's not the heat, it's the temerity in your case, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, oh, oh. Let's play a clip from Lawrence Arabia, if we can. Okay, now this clip, Sheriff Ali, played by Omar Sharif, warns Lawrence, of course, played by Peter O'Toole, that it's madness, madness. No man can cross the Nafud Desert to reach the Gulf of Aqaba.
That is the desert. From here until the other side, no water but what we carry. For the camels, no water at all. If the camels die, we die. And in 20 days, they will start to die.
Boy, that, you know, that last scripted remark that the camel came up with.
I think it's what the kids call improving. But you were so good in setting that clip up, I almost didn't need to hear it. I mean, that was just so vivid. Oh. You were as torrid as the clip itself, I think.
I can do lines from Lawrence of Arabia.
Doing the camel for you.
Do you want to mention a couple movies about heat, or where heat's a central character that we don't have?
Oh, sure. From? First of all, I mean, if there's anybody who I think is being kind of the poet laureate of heat and the way it sort of tests characters in movies, it's John Huston. Oh my God, Night of the Iguana, Under the Volcano, or Key Largo, or The Misfits, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, or The African Queen. They're all about what heat does, how it breaks people apart.
Yes.
So much of what Huston did was about men testing themselves and how they stood up or more often than not kind of fell apart. And the guy who was sort of the epitome of, if I can be metaphorical here, of movie cool was the guy who cracked fairly often under these circumstances for Huston. That would be Humphrey Bogart. You think about how he was testing the African Queen.
Well, here's a clip.
Can't tell the water from the land for that matter. All the channels we've lost, all the twisting and turning we've done. This river's crazy. Crazy as I am.
I think there's probably no one better at doing that than John Huston. It makes me understand now what an underrated filmmaker he is, just because he understood how that became a crucible of hope and faith and anxiety and desperation, and some failed and some stood up to it.
Elvis Mitchell, our entertainment critic here on Weekend Edition, who also hosts The Treatment on KCRW. Elvis, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.